It sure is good to see each of you this morning. So glad to be here. I say this morning, it's actually this afternoon. It's about 12:15. I'll try to be not too lengthy. It's already past our lunchtime. You know, everybody else has already probably been to the Golden Corral by now. We're running late, but that's part of it. But Brandy, she, I guess it's about 2 o'clock. She in the morning, I woke up. She said, "What time is it?" I said, "It's 2 o'clock." And looked back at my watch, and it was 1 o'clock. And I was like, "It rolled back." Yes, about 2 o'clock is when it rolls back. And I was like, "Well, that's good. We got another hour." And I needed that hour this morning. I went to bed with two different thoughts on my heart: one for Sunday school, and then one for the message for this morning. And then first thing this morning, heard something that really caught my attention. The Lord changed that, so I needed that extra hour for study. But I believe with all my heart that's what the Lord would have for us today. If you'd like to, let's be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Brandy probably thinks I forgot, but I didn't. About this time last year, we were getting ready for a wedding. And thinking about that, November 2nd, a year ago today. So just want to let everybody know everybody's invited to go over to Josh and Sarah's after the service and have some one-year-old cake. I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but I was going to put that out there for you if you want some one-year-old cake. Me and Brandy, I waited a whole year for that raspberry-filled cake from our wedding, and it was not like it was the day we got married, but we ate it, part of it anyway. So it's a good time to reflect and look on those things, but really looking forward to spending time with our youth this afternoon and putting shoeboxes together. And so thankful that you're here. Any visitors we might have, please make yourself at home. I'm thankful that you're here with us today, and just really looking forward to this. It's probably something I haven't really thought of directly, but when I heard it, it really stuck with my heart. We talk about faithfulness a whole lot. We talk about the importance to be faithful, and nobody would argue the importance of being faithful, but I want us to see also that there is a difference in faithfulness and fruitfulness. There's a big difference in that if you really break it down and look at it. I want us to see that this morning. It'd be easy for us to base our faithfulness on our intentions. It's easy for us to judge ourselves to a degree based off the intentions that we had. We use the word "I try to" a whole lot. I'll expound on that hopefully here in just a little bit. But I find some interesting verses here in 1 Corinthians 4. Paul talking to the church here at Corinth, and I really find a lot of help in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. There's a lot to learn and study from there. This is a church that had a lot of issues. That's why it took at least two letters for Paul to write, and he expounded a lot on some things with this church. And he goes on to talk about these about faithfulness here and about himself, but I'd never really seen it in so many ways until looking at it this morning, how he looks at it himself. So we'll jump in this. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we get to be together, Lord. God, I love you and thank you for all your blessings. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do for us, how you take care of us, God, and look after us, God. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray that we never take for granted that the time that you give to us, our times in our life, the time that we get to live in, the time we spend together as a church. God, I want us to make the most of that, God, and not look back and regret, but just thankful and just always looking, God, to what you have for us and always trying to further the gospel, whichever way that might be, God, throughout ministry work. There's so many avenues to take, and Lord, we just pray and trust that you send us and help us to do those things where and when you'd have us to, God. And we just want to be the faithful servant you've called us to be. God, I pray that you be with those in our church that are lost. I pray that you be with them, God, and help them to see their need of salvation, and pray that you convict hearts. And God, I pray to those who are saved this morning, Lord, I just pray that you help them and guide them in their lives, Lord, and just the ministry work that you'd have each of us to do. I just pray that you guide us that way, and that we can do this together as a church family, and just be fruitful for you, God. That's what this time of life is about, is bearing fruit for you. Help us, Lord, in all that we do, God, and in all that you do, God, will give you the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I've really enjoyed looking over this morning and kind of thinking about it. Sometimes you try to put things into words and you don't have the words yourself, and you read the Word of God and you say, that's it. That's it. Trying to place things together and have a vision or have a working, relationship together, what have you. And I see Paul talking about this here and the way he's bringing it together about the importance of being faithful and the importance of being a steward. And I find it interesting, because, and I'll get into this in just a second, but it says, let a man so count of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He's talking about the importance of the work that is being done, and we know that it's important. You wouldn't turn anything loose to somebody that you wouldn't deem faithful, that you wouldn't deem trustworthy, or you shouldn't. That's the way I look at it. And so it's kind of obvious the way he's making this statement here is you wouldn't just put a whole lot of trust and confidence into somebody if you don't have some kind of history of what they've done. And then it says here, moreover, it was required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Again, in saying that there's a difference in faithfulness and fruitfulness, there is a difference, but it's important that we are to be found faithful. That's consistent in our judgment and how we act, how we respond, in what we do, and every aspect of what we do. That's important. That's a big part of our testimony. When you reach out to somebody and you're trying to help them, they want to know that, be able to place enough confidence in us that we can give them the help that they need. If going to a doctor or what have you, or going to a mechanic, I want to go to the best ones that I can go to. I want things to be done right. But you look at the work of the church, it's so much more important. Our testimonies and how we live out our life and what we do is so much more important, because that's where our confidence of others rise and fall in us. You see how that comes together. Now, verse number 3 is where things get really, really interesting to me. It says, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. That's a pretty bold statement. You're saying, hey, you know, it's supposed to be found faithful. And who's doing the judging there? Who's doing the judging? You think other people, it's important. What other people think, of course. But he's saying it's a very small thing that I would be judged, should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not of my own self. Now, I want to stop there for just a second. And I tell you, he's being really honest in what he's saying. And being forthcoming here, because if we're not careful, what people would try to do is say, okay, you're the judge, and I'm supposed to try to appease what you would have and what have you. But Paul's saying, I'm not concerned about what other men think. Paul goes on to say, I'm not even concerned about what I think. He realizes something in the work that he's doing, that it's not about what other people think, and it's not even about what he himself thinks. Now, I want to use this as an example here. How many of you have been through the evaluation process at work? Most of us, right? Boy, isn't that a fun time? I mean, that's great. That's a fun thing. Now, how many of you have to fill out your own evaluations? State people should probably raise your hands here, yeah. Isn't that something? Brother Dale, you get to fill out your own evaluation. I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. So they send it to the person first, and you fill it out based off the criteria that they gave to you. They gave to you maybe in your work plan a year ago, and you get to fulfill, you get to write out all these things. Now, it's amazing to read over those. I'm not picking on anybody, but it's amazing. Some people are very humble in their response. Some people are very humble, and it's like, well, I probably didn't meet this as much as I should have this point here. And some people are probably more objective, and then other people, my goodness, they aced the whole thing. Brother, he's good in everything. Brother, they did it all right. I'm like, my goodness, I don't even have to write this evaluation. You've done it all right. And that always kind of surprised me, because I think humility should be, in some manner of ways, the best policy. But if we evaluate ourselves, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll evaluate ourselves higher than what we should. I've been guilty of that. Because if I read something, if I read a job description before applying for it, I'm thinking, okay, I've done these things or I haven't done these things. I'm willing to try these things. But yet at the same time, when it comes to time for evaluation time, and I read over that, you know what I say in my mind? I tried to do those things. If I did or not. In my mind, I tried to do those things. See, Paul is being very subjective and very objective in his way of thinking and talking about this. He's saying, of course, if I judge myself, I'm going to give myself the benefit of the doubt. But see, God knows us better than what we know ourselves. Is that something to see? And I said this in Sunday school. I'll say it here. Talking about faithfulness. You know, I've known of people. Brother Tim's not here. I was going to use him as an example. Work with the state. But I know some people, when it comes time to be at work, they'll be there early. I know some people. I get here at 6:30 every morning. And they're there. They're there waiting. Work starts at 7. They're there at 6:30. But now, what happens is the actual evaluation period doesn't start till 7. And if there's not a lot of work going on from 7 to 4, then that kind of negates the whole thing of being here at 6:30, doesn't it? See, in a person's mind, they're being faithful. See, I'm always on time to work. Amen, that's good, but are you actually working when you're here? You see, that's part of the evaluation process too. And so in looking at this, what I'm saying, I'm not being negative, I'm being positive. What I'm saying is we need to make sure we're using our time wisely. The time that the Lord has given to us, I thank God that I get to serve with you, and I want you to know that. I mean that with all my heart. Being able to do things together, work together as a church family, and do things, the outreach we get to do with CFC ministries, other ministries we take part in, our youth group as it's growing, the young families, as they're coming to church, praise the Lord. This is the most exciting time I have had as a pastor, and I want you to know that. And I just want you to know, I want to do it right. I desire your prayers. Thinking a lot about it in this way too, and looking at this thing about being faithful, I want to, this is as much toward me as it is to anybody else, but it's for all of us. I don't want to look back and say, I wish I would have this. I wish I would have that. I want it to be a time that we do things right together. And that absolutely takes being faithful. But it takes a little bit further. It goes on a little bit further than just that. I pray each week, Lord, help me to be the pastor that our church needs. And then I also pray, Lord, help me to be the pastor you want me to be. You see, that's what takes the preeminence. That's the most important thing when you look at it, is being judged by God. He's the one that's going to be the one who judges us, the works that we do. It is all judged by Him. One of the things I have found, whether it be in personal work or even in church work, the best thing that I can do is keep my head down and work. Work for the Lord. Not get caught up in things and maybe what other people are doing or how they're doing it. But you know, when the Lord calls you into a ministry, He will give you a direct path that He wants you to do. You don't have to be worried about what other folks are doing and things and get caught up things that way. God wants you to do things the way He wants you to do. That requires having focus on Him. That's when we do things in accordance with His will, His word, when we follow Him. And not following other people, but following what God would have for us to do. Again, verse 3, you see, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, other people, or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. I'm not judging myself. Now I believe he's taken accountability for himself. But he's not just trying to keep a checklist saying, I'm doing all these things right. He's not doing the self-evaluation. What he's saying is, I have to keep my head down and do what the Lord would have me to do. You remember Jesus himself, when he went through his time of ministry, he said, I must be about my Father's business. He didn't get caught up on things to the left or to the right. He did what the Lord had called him to do, what God sent him to do. Verse number 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. His number one goal is making sure that the Lord is pleased with him. Now, how much simpler would life be if we could kind of just keep it simplified and say, you know what? I'm going to worry and focus on what God thinks of me and what he wants for me in my life. Just that one. I tell you this, we talked about Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, all these things shall be added unto you. If we could really grasp that, we say it a lot, but if you could really grasp what it means to seek God first, it would be amazing in our lives what all other things would kind of fall in line. Doesn't mean it's going to be easier, but if you have Christ, if you have him the centerpiece of your life, your focal point, and you put him first, you make him the preeminence, you be faithful to him, I believe he will outline and he will give you the path that he wants you to be on. And you don't have to be worried about all these other opinions, all these thoughts and ideas that maybe other people have for you, but you're living and working for the Lord. And that's the importance of being faithful and part of that there. And he goes on to say here, verse number 5, it says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. He's saying, worry about what the Lord has for you. Don't worry about praise from men, anything like that. You think about the counsels of the heart, what a person's intent was, instead of trying to focus on intent all the time, just be about his business, be about his work and what he has for us to do, and not get caught up to the left or to the right. He knows the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. You see, again, as we've said in times past, faithfulness is a whole lifelong endeavor. It's not just a short period of time. Everybody in this room has time to mess their life up. I'm just going to be honest with you. But if you stay faithful, you're less apt to do that. But what you see about faithfulness, I want to use this too. I thought about this part of faithfulness, the importance of it. Sometimes people measure faithfulness different ways. I guess one of the best examples I can think of, and I've used this to a degree before, but thinking about being faithful and going to the gym. You're going to go. You made that resolution. That's coming up in a couple of months here. You made that resolution, and I am going to go. I don't care if it's snowing. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's cold or if it's hot. I am going to go. And you go. Praise the Lord, you're there. You're there. But then once you get there, Brother Garrett, you've probably seen it. You leaned up on the bench. Leaned up on the weightlifting rack. You're there. You can check the box, I was there, but you're not doing nothing. You're not doing anything. You're not lifting any weights. And you're like, my goodness, I am there. I am there. And you know what? I hadn't lost any weight. You know what? I hadn't got any stronger. You know what? Nothing seems to change in my life, but yet I'm there. I go there if I want to or not. I'm always there. And guess what? Other people saw me there. My friends were there. Called my buddy, said, hey, you'll go to the gym with me? He said, no, but I went. I didn't do anything while I was there, but I was there. There's so much more to life than just being present. You have to be active and take part. When you start thinking about our spiritual lives, a lot of times it's like, why are we kind of caught in this lull? Why aren't things changing? Why aren't things progressing? Why don't we feel like we're moving ahead or gaining ground or something? Are we actually doing something? Are we just present, or are we actually doing something? See, there's a difference in faithfulness and fruitfulness. When you look at how the Lord does things, I promise you, if you add faithfulness and consistency with all things that he's commanding you to do, you will see fruitfulness. You will see it. God, I want us to know this, and the other message kind of lends to this, but I've said it maybe to a degree, but the Lord has really laid this on my heart. God honors his word. You can be a Christian. You can be a child of God, a believer, a born-again Christian, but you're not living a God-honoring life, and you're wondering, why is God not honoring me? Because he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't honor us just to honor us. If we're not doing what he'd have us to do, he doesn't honor us. But he always honors his word. Always. That tells me, again, not being legalistic about it, but being absolute sincere about it, So if I have to focus on God first, being faithful with Him, and then if I focus on honoring His Word when I learn something in His Word and I adapt to it and I do it, that is going to be pleasing to God, and then He will honor my life. Amen. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Anybody here want to have a God-honored life? I do, don't you? Everybody shaking their head. Yeah, see, that's good. We can talk about a lot of things, and we can spend a lot of time in hypotheticals or a lot of times in intentions and try-tos, but see, that doesn't get the job done. What gets the job done is actually doing what God says for us to do. That's the fulfillment that I find in my life. And you know, it's kind of like this. I don't know always what God is wanting to do. There's things that you do as a whole. You know, there's things, Brother Terry, that God asks you to do in that day. That might be one thing He just wants you to do in that day. You think about the Samaritan. You think about when the Lord went by that way. In talking to the Sunday school class this morning, for me, sometimes it's easy to think, well, I preach on Sunday. I teach on Sunday morning. Wednesday night, if you want to partake in that, then you come to me and you get it there. See, it'd be easy to have that mentality, but see, Jesus didn't do that. There were times, you look in the Bible, Jesus went to preach, people would go to hear Him. People would go to listen to Him. They would gather, they were astounded by what He had to say, but you know, there are times, you think about the woman at the well, you think about the Samaritan, you think about these times, these things that happened, God went a different way. Jesus went a different way. He went to them. See, that's the importance of our lives. There's things that take place every day. God may want you to go talk to somebody. That's a part of your faithfulness. But if you don't go do that, you'll never receive the fruitfulness of it. And that's what He wants for us in our lives. And I got to hurry because we'll be into supper time if I don't hurry on. But you see what He's talking about here? Talking about faithfulness. That's firm adherence to the truth and to the duties of religion, constant in the performance of duties or services. The problem with that, when you look at the legality side of it, people knew what the law was, but they weren't actually doing it. They weren't following through with it. So that did not equate and equal to actual fruitfulness. If you will, let's turn to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. I'm just going to two places this morning. John chapter 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And you can go to verse 1, but I'm going to read verse number 8 to you. Just going to look at verses 1 through 8, but I want to read verse 8 to you. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." I looked at that verse and thought about faithfulness and fruitfulness, the difference between it. You know, God commands us. Jesus is saying here that God commands us to be fruitful. That means that we have to perform certain tasks that He wants us to do. Again, not trying to be any form of legalist or anything like that, or be works rated or things like that. But once after being saved, God intends every one of us to work for Him. It's a labor. It's not just, well, I accepted Christ, I go to church, end of story. That's not how it is. We get to go to church. This is our place. We get to join together and fellowship with one another. But this is where we get our strength, that we actually go and perform those things that the Lord would have us to do. Where some people, again, might try to have credit or gain credit from just being there, that's not where faithfulness begins and ends. Jesus is saying here, "My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit." And I like the idea of being able to do things for the Lord. You know, He made it that way. We are very unworthy as people. Just like Paul was saying there, he doesn't judge himself. He had a good understanding of human nature and of himself. He didn't wrongfully give himself credit. He's being objective about things, and he's being honest with himself. He's saying, "I can't even tell you how much I'm doing. I don't even know, because God is my judge. I don't know." But now when you start looking at fruitfulness here, you see exactly how Jesus says you and I can obtain being fruitful. I love this. He says, "I am the true vine," verse number 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And I look at this and I think about daily life when I see these things here. You see, you have this work, you have God the Father, you have Him as being the one, the husbandman. He's the one who tends to the garden. You have Jesus as the vine. When you break this down together, again, the red letter here, and I am being Jesus, talking about Himself, He is the true vine. And He's saying God is the husbandman. Every branch that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. That's one thing I've learned. I use the illustration here several years ago about tomato plants and how to grow those. And I had little plants everywhere. I had some of the prettiest bushes you'd ever seen. They smelled right, looked right, just big, bushy tomato plants. But when I got down to looking at the tomatoes, I mean, they were tiny. Brother Robert, they're supposed to be the good ones like Brother Robert grows. I mean, they're supposed to be the good. You take one slice, and that's an entire sandwich. You could take my entire plant, and you probably couldn't make a salad. I mean, it was pretty sad. I'll be honest with you. And I got to learning about it. I said, no. You've got to cut back all these old branches, all these old stems that aren't producing anything. See, they're sapping the energy that could go to this fruit that's supposed to be grown. They're just sapping it. They're just taking all that, and they're not producing anything with it. And I'm like, oh. So I stripped that thing down. If you didn't have a tomato on you, you were cut out. That was it. I didn't care if you had a bloom or not. If you didn't have a tomato on you, you're being cut. That's fruit. And you see, that's what He's saying here. He's seeing how we are. He knows how we are. He being the judge, and He taketh away every branch that beareth not fruit, that doesn't bear fruit. But now, the fruit-bearing branches. You see what He does here? He purgeth it. He takes some things away. Now, you might say, I'm a Christian and I want to do more, but, and start having examples. You know, the Lord can take those and cut those things away. Whatever is hindering you, He will cut those things away. He'll remove those things. However big or hard they might seem to you, it can be a small thing for Him. He wants us to be fruitful. He doesn't want us wasting time and what have you there. It purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. And look what verse 3 says. Now ye are clean through the word. So that's an important thing when you start thinking about church. And I want you to know, I'm not getting on to people, as you'd say, getting on. But I want us to be aware of this. If you hear this and you don't apply it, it's not going to change your life at all. It doesn't impact you. You heard it, you had the knowledge of it, but you didn't apply it. And you can turn around. People have. I've heard people say, I tried X for a week and it didn't work. Well, that's not being faithful. It takes time. And that's one of the things. The Lord knows when we're serious about something because that's how we spend our time. You think about it like this. I'll say this. God looking down at your life right now, He knows what you're spending your time doing. And He's saying, that's what's important to you. That's what's most important to that person. If He looks down, He sees you doing things that have nothing to do with Him. He knows how you're spending your time. If He looks down and sees you spending your time in prayer, spending your time in study, He knows that you're being serious about the things of God, about Him and what He would have to accomplish in your life. And He goes on to say, and now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. That's how we get cleaned up, how we get straightened up. We learn and we grow from the word of God. And then He says, after you learn it, abide in me. Stay in me. Continue in the same state within me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. See, that's very straightforward and simple. But if you think that you can grow fruit on your own, you can't. I can't. I can want to do something good, but do it in the wrong way, and guess what? It will not produce any fruit. It takes people being willing to make themselves right with God and abide in Him, abide in the Lord Jesus. That's how we have our strength and our power. You can't go on about to make your own fruit, just like the Jewish people couldn't go on about to make their own righteousness. There's only one way. You have to stay attached to the vine. There's only one way to do that. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. You got to stay in that state. Verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He gives the order. He lays the order out. He's the vine. He's the trunk. And every single one of us are a branch that comes off of that. Every single one of us. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. There's nothing that we can do based off of God's word without him. Anything that we want to accomplish, it has to be through him. We can't be trying to say, well, I'm going to do it this way because I'm more comfortable doing it this way. That's not going to change anything. That's not going to accomplish anything. You and I have to be willing to do it God's way to be fruitful. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They're gone. It's not worth anything to the Lord in that aspect. Verse number 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's where our help comes from. I just want to say this. I tell you, I know we've had an amazing time of revival. I've still been reflecting on that. And I pray that that spirit continues as we move forward. I don't believe in putting a time limit on revival. I want to stay in it. And I believe the way that the Word of God is set up, if we do the things that He's asking us to do, that we can stay in a spirit of that. I believe that with all my heart, personally and as a church. I believe that. And I think that's important that we do that. Really excited about the upcoming events that we've got going on with the Christmas program coming up. Really looking forward to that. Everybody coming together and I'm looking forward to memorizing some parts, maybe reading some parts, trying to get it together. I'm looking forward to that. This is a very, I know it's a busy time of year, but it's an important time of year. It's something that we need to stay engaged and plugged in, and I want to encourage us to do that. And the singing with the young people, them coming together, and Christmas caroling, all these things coming together. But if you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies to come together.